So yeah, today I'll be talking about the OMG study, so symptoms of Mycoplasma genitalium in women, and I'm presenting on behalf of the authors listed here. So as we've just heard, MG is a common STI with an established association with PID in women and NGU in men. However, there's still limited knowledge regarding other pathogenic effects of MG in women. So our aim was to determine if MG is associated with any common genital signs or symptoms in women in order to inform indications for testing. We also wanted to look at the prevalence of macrolide-resistant MG in women. So over a two-year period, we recruited 1,316 women who were attending Melbourne Sexual Health Centre for testing. The majority of these women were symptomatic. However, we also recruited 200 asymptomatic women as a comparison group. Symptomatic women had a clinical exam, high vaginal microscopy for BV and Candida, as well as high vaginal swabs for chlamydia, gonorrhea and MG, whereas asymptomatic women had a first-pass urine for chlamydia and gonorrhea, as well as a self-collected high vaginal swab for MG. All participants completed a questionnaire asking them to grade the severity of 10 common genital symptoms on a scale from none to severe, and clinicians reported the presence of any genital signs on a pro forma. We excluded any women who were co-infected with STIs or BV from the analysis. So as you can see, MG prevalence was quite high in our study participants, with a prevalence of 6.3%, very similar to that of chlamydia. And one in every two MG infections were macrolide resistant. When we look at symptoms, we did look at more symptoms than this, but I've only added a few key symptoms on the slide. So you can see, and I've added women who tested positive for chlamydia as well, just as a comparison. So we can see that MG did not have any associations with any genital symptoms, in contrast to chlamydia, which was associated with postcoital bleeding. When we look at genital signs, though, interestingly, both chlamydia and MG show an association with cervicitis on examination, and we also saw a borderline association with abnormal vaginal discharge on exam. It's important to note that women who attended with moderate to severe PID symptoms tended not to be recruited to the study, as their clinical care was often prioritised over enrolment, so associations with dyspareunia and pelvic pain were not able to be assessed. In summary, MG was as common as chlamydia in women presenting to Melbourne Sexual Health Centre for testing. One in every two MG infections were macrolide resistant. MG was not associated with any common genital symptoms. However, it was associated with cervicitis and abnormal vaginal discharge on examination. So this study shows that testing for MG is indicated in women with cervicitis and or abnormal vaginal discharge on examination, but not with other common signs or symptoms such as dysuria or postcoital bleeding. The high macrolide resistance of MG in women reiterates the importance of resisted guided therapy when treating women with MG. And again, this study does not inform testing practices for women with PID, as this group was not significantly represented in our study population.